Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Matt Kwasaborski Show, calling you live in the Prague, Czech Republic, the heart of Central Europe, on a beautiful fall day here. It's probably around about 55 to 60 degrees for all you fans of Fahrenheit, and around 12 or 13 degrees for us fans. The weather's supposed to take a turn for the worse this week, where tomorrow we're barely going to get out of the 30s and be raining all day. So we definitely want to take advantage of this weather. Therefore, this podcast will be a short one. It'll be a 30-minute podcast. And we'll discuss week 8 in the NFL, look ahead of week 9, and talk a little bit about what's happening in the world of politics a little bit, especially over here in the Czech Republic and Slovakia and also the United States. Won't have too much to cover those. But first of all, I want to thank all you loyal listeners out there who have been tuning into my show either live or through the podcast or the recorded episode. And I'd like to thank Al Gore for inventing the internet and Blog Talk Radio for allowing this service. I do have a meeting this week with a web designer, and I'm hoping to be able to create my own podcasts and put them onto a website. So if that comes through, then Blog Talk Radio, the live feed, probably will end, and then we'll go to the just the recorded podcast somewhere at some point. Excuse me. I'm suffering from a little bit of a cold or allergy. I can't really say, but I have a nasty post-nasal drip, if you really wanted to know. And it somewhat tickles the back of my throat, so I apologize if I am coughing a little bit during the episode. All right, so what happened here in the Czech Republic was in terms of forming the government this week, Prime Minister Babiš, the head of the ANO party, the political party who won with 30% of the mandate from all the people in Czech Republic, was asked to form a government by the president, Miloš Zeman. This is standard practice. And now it's up to Babiš to form a government. He can pick from he has to work with the other parties, or he can choose his own way and own people to go about it. Not all from the ANO official members of the party, but maybe people that are outside of the political spectrum. And it's a little bit of an interesting way to do things. So here in America, we sort of have that. When President Trump or Barack Obama were elected, they were able to pick their cabinet post, which is similar to ministries. And they don't. And the people in America don't necessarily have to be from one part, Democrats or Republicans, or have a career in politics. And you see with President Trump, a lot of his choices are not within the were not coming from politics directly. They may be Republican, conservative, or maybe left-center in their politics, but not a lot of them had much of a career in politics. So you see that a little bit here with Babiš. He is thinking about doing that. The difference, though, is the fact that there's so many political parties to choose from and so many candidates in these parties. Just to go circumvent all of the political process is really strange for this part of the world. It's not necessarily what he's going to do. He's going to have some trouble forming a government. He needs to pick a speaker of the House, which is something that he wants control of. Or when I say he, the ANO party. So we'll see what happens there. There were elections in Slovakia yesterday, and it looked like the more center conservative party or mainstream party won. There's a dangerous party named Kotleba over in Slovakia, which are basically like Nazis. They only, you know, they don't want Slovakia to accept any sort of migration, and they're very anti-Roma in their approach to life. They don't want any rights given to the Roma or any sort of benefits from them. They're dangerous because their message is basically that Slovakia for Slovaks in that sort of way, with no outside people coming in. But they've done interesting work in the rural areas, or not necessarily in the big cities of Slovakia. They've gone out and really helped the people. For example, when a storm comes and there's flooding, they will go out and try to clean up, try to, if people's houses were damaged, to fix their housing, fix plumbing. They would also give financial aid for needy people and also for scholarships to go to certain schools if they wanted to. And they would always choose the amount of the scholarship of 1,488 euros, which is, if you're familiar with white supremacy, that is the number that white supremacists use all the time. Not 1,500 euros, but 1,488. The 8 represents the 8th letter of the Latin alphabet, or H, Heil Hitler. And the 14 stands for there is an American racist Nazi forget his name right now, who has two famous quotes. They're both 14 letters long, and the first one's about that they must protect their women from outsiders. Therefore, we shall, you know, make sure that our women are only having children with our own natives. And the second part is protecting the children. The other 14-letter phrase has to do with protecting the children from the outsiders. So that's what these guys are espousing to, and they pretty much pay homage to this very dangerous American neo-Nazi. I want to say his name is Richard Drew, but I may be wrong there. Anyway, congratulations to Slovakia for getting through another round of elections. In the U.S., it was a really intense week, starting with the indictment of Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort's right-hand man for a long time, named Rick Green. And then also there was the surprising announcement that a lower-level foreign policy worker for Donald Trump, worker of a policy advisor, if you will, who's only 30 years old, had been arrested or was in July and has been a government witness and basically is giving details out about trying to set up meetings with Russian President Putin and Donald Trump during the campaign. And it looks like it may take down even the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who cannot always remember if he discussed meeting with Russians or discussed Russia or actually Trump going to Russia. So we'll see. And then Donna Brazile, the former chairwoman of the Democratic National Party, released, I don't know if it was a book, or released a lot of interesting comments talking about how Hillary Clinton basically rigged the DNC, took control of not the voting but where the money was going, therefore to try to squeeze out Bernie Sanders, who was polling very, very closely to Hillary Clinton. And then Donna Brazile also, her name is, also revealed that she thought about replacing Hillary with Joe Biden, which would have taken a tremendous amount of work. Basically, she did this started thinking about it on September 11th, when Hillary Clinton was seen sort of wobbly and almost fainting, getting into the car after the memorial service on a very hot day in New York on September 11th. And Donna Brazile thought, maybe we can talk to Hillary, maybe her health isn't as good as we think, and therefore maybe we could think about replacing her with Joe Biden. Obviously never came there, got to that point. Hillary would have had to concede. At that point, I don't think she was going to. But you see those exposés come out these week. So the Democrats and the Republicans, and it really goes to show you like just the general trust in our political leaders is really taking a huge hit all around the world, especially in the West. When you see the way Donald Trump has won his election, the way the Republicans are sort of, where he's not even really a traditional Republican, and then you see the Democrats basically Hillary Clinton trying to take control, or she did take control to get the nomination. So it's really just strange times all in the West about politics. And also we've talked about the skepticism, especially here in Central Europe, although Slovakia gives us a glimmer of hope after yesterday's election. Just to say, there's only about 21 minutes to go in the show, so let's go right into the NFL. Last week in all my picks of the 13 games that I picked, 1-6, lost 7, which isn't good. The last 2 weeks I have been breaking even. Therefore, I would have lost one check crown, 100 crowns, $1, $100, however you want to bet it. But remember, I preface it by saying I don't really bet on these games, and no one in their right minds bets every single game. You may pick the winners, you may pick the losers, but no one really only bets the games they think they're going to win. And also in a league where in fantasy football, I'm sitting in first place with the most points. And I'm in second place on head-to-head matchups in terms of just picking the winners and losers. I've picked 68 correctly, and my friend JT Hannon is now 71 wins, including Thursday night's win where the Jets, the most unpredictable team, I feel, went out and smashed the Bills 34-21 on primetime in New York. I really thought Buffalo was going to win that game and try to put more pressure on the New England Patriots. That wasn't to be. So the Jets are sitting at 4-5. The Bills are at 5-3 in the division with the Patriots at 6-2. It looks like they're sort of controlling their defense now, is not getting up as many points, even though they played a very competitive Chargers team, especially defensively. New England only put up 21 points, but the Patriots held the Chargers at 13. I chose New England in that game to win by 7. They win by 8. two other games last week that I was dead set on they would cover were the New Orleans Saints being home against the Chicago Bears. New Orleans was favored to win by 9 points. They win 20-12, which means they only won by 8 and you lost money. The next game was those Atlanta Falcons, who played all AFC East teams from 4 straight weeks, or 4 out of 5 weeks of the bye sandwiched in there. And they almost went they should have went 0-4 against the AFC East. They rally. They score a touchdown with under 4 minutes to go in the game. They win New York against the Jets, the aforementioned Jets, 25-20. The line on that game, Atlanta was favored by 4.5. It was the Jets. I thought the Jets could win outright or at least lose on a field goal. Here they lose by 5. And those games really, are really, really tough to swallow. You can look at Seattle and Houston, in which was the game of the week, maybe the game of the year last week. Seattle played host to Houston. It was a fantastic game if you love offense. Seattle wins 41-38, but they were favored by 5.5 points. So they only win by 3. And they don't cover the spread. So that was a tough loss to take. Games that I did win. Oh, the other loss I took was I chose the Skins at home against Dallas getting 2 points. And they lose 33-19. Ezekiel Elliott is running all over the Redskins last week like he ran over the 49ers in their game before, which was 3 weeks ago, because Dallas had a bye in there. So the other games that I won, Baltimore destroyed Miami. They were favored by 3. They won 40-0 last week. Carolina covered against – they were getting 2 points in Tampa Bay. Not only they won the game. Eagles on a very – really 33-10. They were favored by 13. They were my survivor pool pick, meaning that if they lost, I would have lost in the survivor pool, but they won. But this game was 3-0 up until the two-minute warning of the first half, and they went on to win 33-10. The 49ers defense to play last week, and they're the reason why I'm thinking that San Francisco is going to win their first game this week at home against their division rival Arizona. They owe Arizona a payback after Arizona beat them in overtime 18-15. The 49ers defense is legit, and even though they gave up 24 points to the Eagles offense. The Eagles did score, or I'm sorry, 26 points to the Eagles offense. The Eagles did score a defensive touchdown, and the Eagles defense also came to play last week. Won New England game, aforementioned, won that game, won the Pittsburgh game. They went into Detroit favored by 3, won 20-15. And Kansas City, who's playing Denver Broncos, who the Eagles play this week, won 29-19. And so I won those games, but 6-7 is not really a good week at all. You don't really want to be on the losing side. As we head into week 9, we have about just under 17 minutes left to go. My Philadelphia Eagles are the early game of the week. The 7-1 Philadelphia Eagles going against the Denver Broncos in their putrid offense, but probably the best defense the Eagles offense has faced. And when I said earlier that the Eagles struggled against the 49ers defense, they sort of did, especially in the first half. San Francisco blitzed a lot. They showed a lot of pressure. They're getting to the quarterback, Carson Wentz. He had his worst game all season. But they still managed to put up 26 points. With four touchdowns, the offense scored. They missed 2 extra points due to the rain last week. The Eagles are favored by 7.5 points this week. Going into bye week, the Eagles are. Denver is coming off a tough Monday night road game against Kansas City where they lost 29-19. But all reports are that Denver is really geared up for this game because the Eagles have the best record in football. I didn't say they're the best team, but they have the best record in football at 7-1. And the defense is going to want to come in and shut them down. As we know, the Eagles lost their future Hall of Famer left tackle for the year and maybe his career, Jason Peters, to two torn knee ligaments against not the 49ers, but the week before against Washington. So it's going to be a challenge for this game. The Denver Broncos defense are going to pick on Vitae, who is the backup tackle, who by all accounts played a solid game against San Francisco, but it's obviously the drop-off. I mean, the Eagles on the left side of the offensive line between Steve Wisniewski And Vitae, he has a very difficult first name. It's Halapute Vitae, or something like that. They're basically backup starting on the team with the best record, but that left side is going to be a weak link. The interesting part, though, the part of the game where Vitae struggled was in the running game. And usually, instinctively, offensive linemen love to run block. They don't like the pass block. Run block, they go out and they maul people and they flatten them. Pass block, you're kind of just hoping you're the guy rush and not get to the quarterback, and you try to steer him around. I think that bodes well for the for moving forward for Vitae and the Eagles, that if he just improves his running game or run blocking, I think they're going to be in great shape with him there at left tackle. The Eagles also made a surprising trade, picking up the starting running back Miami Dolphins, who finished 40 or lost 40 to nothing, the second time they've been shut out. And the coach, Adam Gase in Miami, just blamed people for a lack of preparation, a lack of interest, and specifically blamed the running backs. And a couple days later, the trading deadline, they traded Jay Ajayi to the Philadelphia Eagles only for a fourth-round pick. And here's a guy that when he is a downhill runner, he's a north-to-south runner, and he can also protect. He also has to be a blocking running back, too. And that's one of the areas where the running backs for the Eagles, Blount, who's had a great year, does not run block very well. Wendell Smallwood, who's more of a backup than a starter, who shows promises but cannot block. And Corey Clement cannot block either. So Ajayi, he's not a great blocker this year, but in his past has shown he can be a good blocker. Will really take some of the pressure off of Carson Wentz, will make the defenses be honest and not blitz heavy all the time, and also will take some pressure off of the linemen in case they're getting beat. So I thought it was a very astute trade for the Eagles to make. There's rumors that Ajayi's knees are not in good shape at all. He doesn't practice much he wasn't practicing much with the Dolphins. But he was also complaining about Adam Gase. He's never really seen eye to eye with Adam Gase, so therefore he's out. And surprisingly, the Eagles got him only for a fourth-round pick, and they control his rights through next year. So he comes relatively cheap for a fourth-round pick for a guy who is a starting running back. I mean, he's been known to put up 200-yard rushing games. And it's clear that the Doug Peterson Eagles will ride the hot hand at the running back position. And they also obviously want more balance, and they want to control the clock and the time of possession. So it was a very interesting trade for them this week, for the Eagles this week. But I think I'm still going to pick Denver with 7.5 points. I could see the Eagles winning this game 24-17 or 17-10, or winning it by a field goal or points. I still think the Eagles win the game, but Denver's going to give them a tough game. And it's not going to be a pretty game to watch, I don't think at all, because Denver also has to try to keep pace in a division where Kansas City is at 6-2 now, but the rest of the division sort of in mediocrity, as is most of the AFC. So I'm not really sure right now where the wild cards are going to come out of the AFC. You figure Kansas City, Pittsburgh Steelers controlling the AFC North at 6-2, and the Patriots controlling the AFC East at 6-2. Then you have sort of a jumble of the Los Angeles Chargers, Denver. You have Houston, who's not leading the division, I don't think. Actually, you have Jacksonville, Houston, who are in Tennessee, who are muddled. The Jets and Buffalo are muddled. And you also have the Bengals sort of hanging on in that division, and the Ravens sort of muddled. So Denver really has to just put wins together if it's to be in contention for a playoff spot. That's why I think this game will be difficult for the Eagles. I think that it works also. It is the Eagles' third home game in a row, Denver's third game on the road, and the Eagles are going into a bye. So I think everything points to the Eagles' victory. I'm just not sure by 7.5. The Rams and Giants, the Rams go to New York, both teams coming off a bye. The Rams are favored by 4.5 points. I'm picking the Giants. I just have a feeling the Giants are going to come out and play this week. Some suspensions on the team, or Janoris Jenkins, the Mercurial, yet great wide receiver. I don't know if he's left the team for good, but he wasn't practicing. I just think the Giants are going to come and play this game. And I picked the Rams to win, but look out for the Giants in this game, because the Giants also had 2 weeks to study the LA Rams tape and to see what they can do and slow down that offense, see if they can pressure the young quarterback, Jeff Goff, who's having a tremendous year, but he's still only in his first year starting. The next game, Tampa Bay goes into the Saints. I don't know the last time the Saints rode, but here they're favored by 7 points over Tampa Bay, who's just looked disinterested. The Dirk Cutter looks like the experiment's head coach just isn't working out, as they're sitting at 2-5 or 2-6. Take Nola with the points. Nola's a dark horse contender for the NFC crown, along with the Eagles, Seattle, and I have to go with the Saints right now, probably the second or third best team in the NFC. Cincinnati goes into Jacksonville. Cincinnati had to hang on to dear life to beat Indianapolis at home last week. They only won 24-23. They were favored by 10 points, 10.5. They obviously didn't cover. They go into Jacksonville, whose defense is starting to play really, really well. And I'll pick Jacksonville with the 6 points there. Atlanta, again, on the road in Carolina. Atlanta's favored by 2 points. I think Carolina, who beat Tampa Bay last week, are at home against their rival Falcons. I think Carolina wins this game. It's just not right with the Atlanta Falcons. It was a nice gutsy come-from-behind win, but they should not have to have a gutsy come-from-behind win against the Jets if you were the defending conference champions. I like Carolina. Carolina came back after a putrid showing against Chicago 2 weeks ago to actually beat Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay, and their defense played really well. I think Carolina does it again. Indy goes into Houston. Houston favored by 7 points and lost the contender for the Rookie of the Year, Deshaun Watson. Quarterback tore his ACL practice this week and is out of the season. Second time he's torn his ACL in his career. He was going on to be the Rookie of the Year and won a lot of respect for the way he played against Seattle. Even though Indianapolis, it's still a divisional game. It's in Houston. I look for a letdown by the Texans. I think Texans win, but I think Indianapolis covers the points. Baltimore and Tennessee, I mean, it's almost like a flip a coin with this one. I still think Baltimore has a great defense. I'm not a big fan of Tennessee, even though I have Marcus Mariota as one of my fantasy quarterbacks. They're favored by 3.5. I could see Tennessee only win this game by 3. Take Baltimore. Arizona goes into San Francisco for their final matchup of the year. Arizona without Carson Palmer. They do get their star running back, David Johnson, back this week. But like I said, I think San Francisco, after two tough games against NFC's opponents back-to-back, go home, and I think they pick up their first win of the season. I think they'll beat Arizona outright and therefore take San Fran with the points. The Redskins coming off a bad loss to the Dallas Cowboys at home without three of their five stars in the offensive line go all the way to Seattle to play a Seattle defense that's going to want to make amends for all the points they gave up against the Houston Texans last week. Without three of five starting linemen down, even if some of them get back into that game, I think Washington just will pretty much not win the game, obviously not cover. I think Seattle wins this game by 10 or more points. Kansas City goes into Dallas, and that line went up. Dallas was favored by 2.5 points. And the way Zeke Elliott's running, and who knows what his legal status right now, I think he is going to play this game. But still, I think Kansas City is just a better team. I think they have a better defense, and they have a better offense on ball control. I think they go into Dallas and win that game. Oakland goes into Miami. I mean, what Miami team is going to show up? Is it going to be the team that got 40-0 or the team that beat the Falcons in Atlanta? Who knows with this Miami team? Oakland coming off a putrid loss in Buffalo last week, losing 34-14. Jack Del Rio is a guy who's not going to put up with that kind of performance in back-to-back weeks, so look for Oakland to come out fired up and to win this game. Detroit goes into Green Bay in a Monday night game, and this game is all very interesting in the fact that Detroit's favored by 2 points in Green Bay. Green Bay is on a bye. They've had a chance to get Brett Hundley up to speed. I'm down on Detroit, especially after the game against the New Orleans Saints, where I picked them to cover the damn spread. They don't cover the spread, even though they rallied back from 38-10 down to almost take the lead. I think they got to within 45-38, and then Saints scored a defensive touchdown. I think Green Bay is going to show some pride in Lambeau Field. They got beat by the Saints last time they played in Lambeau Field. 26-17 was Brett Hundley's first start. He's had a bye. You got the experienced coach in Mike McCarthy can get these quarterbacks up to speed. I think Green Bay wins this. They also want to stay in the playoff hunt. If there's some weird reason that Aaron Rodgers can come out, weird, but if there's a chance that Aaron Rodgers can come back, they need to stay in that playoff hunt. And there's nothing like beating the Detroit Lions at home on Monday night in front of the national crowd. So going back over the list this week, Denver goes into Philadelphia. Eagles favored by 7.5. Take Denver with the points. The Rams go into New York Giants. They're favored by 4.5 points. Take the Giants with the points. Tampa Bay goes into New Orleans. New Orleans is still at home. They're favored by 7. Take New Orleans. Tampa Bay is just, I think they've packed it in for some odd reason. Jacksonville at home, favored by 6 over Cincinnati. Take the Jaguars as they start to kind of separate themselves. They need to keep winning to keep pacing the division. The AFC South, which is wide open now with the injury to Deshaun Watson. The Colts go into Houston. As mentioned, Houston lost their star quarterback for the year. They go back to opening day starter Tom Savage. Houston favored by 7. I think Indy makes this a game, and Indy covers the spread. Houston to win. Take Indy with the points, though. Baltimore goes into Tennessee. Tennessee favored by 3.5. Flip a coin. Take Baltimore with the points. I could see Tennessee winning this game only by 3, which would mean there would be a cover. San Francisco into Arizona Cardinals with no Carson Palmer goes into San Francisco. The 49ers are finally home after two tough matchups against the NFC opponents on the road, the Washington Redskins, where they lost 26-24, and then last week against my Eagles, losing 33-10. But as I said, the game was 3-0 with a two-minute warning. Arizona beat San Francisco earlier in the year, 18-15 on the overtime field goal in Arizona. Look for San Francisco to get their revenge, and they win outright. Washington Redskins down 3 to 3 or 4 offensive linemen go into Seattle. Seattle's favored by 7. Take Seattle. They're my survivor pool pick. I think they win that game. Seattle's defense coming off a very putrid showing, giving up 38 points last week against Houston. Their defense is going to look for revenge. Not revenge. They won the game last week, but they want to come back and show that they're still formidable and they can control the game. So take Seattle outright. Kansas City goes into Dallas. Dallas favored by 2.5. I say take the Chiefs. They're the one with the better defense. And you never know if Ezekiel Elliott is going to play or not right now. Even if he is, I still think the Chiefs can sort of shut down that offense. And Detroit, Green Bay. I'd say Detroit favored by 2. Take Green Bay with the points. It's been a fast show for us here. Last week was 6-7. I'm 4 games under 500, which means basically picking all these games at lower than 50%. So if you're betting 1 check crown, 1 U.S. dollar, I'm down by about $4 or 4 check crowns. Not that I bet. And remember, people don't bet every game. It's just ridiculous. As you can see, it's a very hard thing to do for most people in that way. So I look to have a rebound week. I'm hoping to get 2 games over 500 this week and at least 2 next week, which will break me even heading into the stretch run and hopefully finish the season over 500. So that's what it's looking like. Looking at going back, we still have about 2 minutes to go on the show. So we'll talk about my Philadelphia Eagles a little bit. And watching this team, they're a young team, and they look like they really enjoy playing with each other. And the one person I think that really does enjoy the game is obviously Carson Wentz. But Carson Wentz has that intensity. He almost has that Tom Brady-esque, like he won't put up with anything. He's not going to run around smiling on the field like Donovan McNabb did. Or, you know, he will accept the blame. He'll take responsibility. But what I really like to see is the renaissance of Nelson Agholor. A guy who was drafted by Chip Kelly. It was Chip Kelly's last first-round draft pick. Agholor came out of USC. At the time, I think Kelly thought Agholor could take the place of Jeremy Maddon, which in essence he did. But Agholor really, really struggled his first 2 years. Last year, the Eagles' wide receivers were horrible. But the thing about Agholor was that Mike Quick, the legendary Eagle wide receiver and longtime color announcer for the Eagles, always said that Agholor ran the best routes, understood the game probably the best, had all the skills. It was just mental. And I think you're seeing it. Agholor looks a lot relaxed. He's making tough catches. He's scoring. He's already eclipsed his yardage, most yards in the season, the most touchdown catches. And it also goes to the Eagles management going out and getting Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith in free agency and really has opened up the game for both Nelson Agholor and Zach Ertz, who's putting on one of the best years a tight end can really put on. But I'm really happy to see Agholor. Happy to see him play football. He's enjoying it again. He's staying out of trouble. And I think that's one of the bright spots to watch this team win every week. And they're doing it with a quarterback who's determined, and they're having fun doing it. So they're a lot of fun to watch right now. And if you have a chance to watch the Denver Eagles game today, do so. And hopefully the Eagles will come out top. But if you're a betting person, take Denver getting 7.5 points. It's been the Matt Kwasaborski Show. Remember, inspire the inspiration. Do not wait for the inspiration to inspire you. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.